Look out now. Back in the days when we wrenched on our cars, not for the love of vintage automobiles, but because we were too poor to have someone else repair them. We had just come back from the Rez junkyard where we pulled an automatic tranny out of another 64 Impala half sunk in the swamps. Muddy, nasty work, but you do what you has to be done. Late afternoon, we had that transmission cleaned off and bolted onto our own Chevy up by the barn, and now the moment of truth had arrived, so we fired up the Impala, ignored the bucket of parts with the extra bolts and nuts and doohickeys, dropped it off its jacks, and headed up the road. For the first mile, we drove slow, feeling for sloppy shifts, listening for odd noises. 2 miles up, we hit 50 miles per hour, and now terrible noises rose through the floorboards, so we pulled over and crawled underneath. Sure enough, a few bolts were missing where the tranny connected to the bell housing, no doubt those extra parts back in the bucket by the barn. We cursed, we spit, we finally laughed at our stupidity, stuck our thumbs out, and waited for a ride. Joe Fritatelli swerved to the shoulder in his big Exxon Valdez of a cruiser, said, "Hop in, boys," and we squeezed between Joe and his girlfriend, all four of us in the front seat, the spaciousness of a Montana wheat field. A mile later, Joe had to urinate like a racehorse, and since the driver's door was no longer functional, all of us slid out the passenger side and waited while Seabiscuit relieved himself. Then we all rolled back in across seas of amber grain. He dropped us on the roadside by our place, then sped off in a purple haze of half-burnt oil. We retrieved the lost bolts, hitched back to the crippled Impala, installed them, and an hour later we were back at the shack, Jack, celebrating with some cold ones. A month later, I'm working my job as weekend graveyard orderly down at the Everett Payne Motel and run into Joe at 3 a.m. wandering the desolate hallways. "What's up, Joe?" I asked. Joe, it seems, had been cleaning his gun late that night, pulled the trigger, and lo and behold, the unanticipated bullet in the chamber was now embedded in his girlfriend's brain. I'd just taken her to the CAT scan but hadn't recognized her. She was comatose, but alive. It was, needless to say, a long night. The police were convinced he'd shot her intentionally. I was convinced he hadn't. If he had, he deserved an Academy Award. She stayed up in ICU on life support for 2 months. Alive, I guess, but not really. Last we heard, they moved her to a facility that cared for the comatose. Joe was never charged. He got cancer and moved away where, we heard, he died. And, not to sound too cold-hearted or unsympathetic to the victims here, our Impala died too. Tranny was no good, and we didn't want to waste time or money on another bad one. I don't think we wanted to meet any more neighbors either. Maybe it wasn't so much we were dirt poor back then, as much as life seemed just way too cheap. Look out now.